When I see a couple preparing for marriage, I always suggest that they use that reading for their wedding, but I never get any takers. I'm not going to say any more about that. I always laugh when I hear that. And just remind us of the second reading, because Paul is painting a picture that's very familiar to the people of his time and ourselves. What with the Olympics next year, just imagine Beijing for a moment, or Peking, or whatever it is. And they said, he said, you are a runner in the stadium, so run so as to win. You are surrounded by the spectators in the stadium. Keep your eyes fixed on the goal, which is Jesus, who inspires and perfects our faith. You have that goal. You can go where you need to go. Jettison all of the baggage that you have, all of the weights that tie you down, the sins and attachments that keep us from following. Be heedless of the shame like Jesus and the trials of life because of the joy that is to come. It's a marvelous reading. And all three of these readings would make a great homily, but I kept zeroing in on St. Paul. And as I was praying about it this week, I found it very fruitful. And it brought me back to my junior high school. I went to a place called Airport Junior High School in Los Angeles for my first year in seventh grade. It was so close to the airport that every time an airplane went over, we had to stop the classes and wait for it to pass overhead. And then later the airport expanded and took this junior high school. So now my classroom is in the middle of the Hertz rent-a-car parking lot down there. And I go by and look at it and reminisce, you know, such as it is in my head. But Paul's sports analogy is a bit troubling for me. And maybe it is for some of you. Maybe some of you really get into it. But when I was in school, P.E. and I did not get along at all. In fact, I'm one of the few people that got a D minus in P.E., almost failed P.E. And I just was not very coordinated or something. I don't know. I was the kid everybody fought over to see who would get stuck with me on the team and all that stuff, you know. So, but we had a P.E. teacher at Airport named Mr. Orr, O-R-R. Mr. Orr had a very creative way of describing running a lap, which was called, he called it a scenic. There was nothing pleasant about this scenic, but that's what he used to call them, and he'd make us run these scenics, you know, around the track, and people who weren't very good at sports like I was ended up with two scenics because we needed it, you know. So I came to hate running and that sort of thing. And St. Paul tells us, whether you like it or not, you are in a competition. You are in the arena. Many of us feel that we're in the bleachers of life. You read these things. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in the action and come down into the arena. Actually, we're all on stage. We're all in the midst of the struggle of life. It is a very brief period. If you imagine the aisle here as being life itself. Before that is all the people that have come before us that are gone, before we existed. Afterward is the world that will never end, that we will live in. And in between, we have this brief moment in which all of heaven watches us, prays for us. Who are, in fact, the witnesses? He says, since you are surrounded by witnesses, this is what I found so fruitful. You are surrounded by a cloud, meaning we can't see them, of witnesses. Run the race. You are not unobserved. Who are these witnesses? First of all, we have the angels. We heard a couple of weeks ago, all of Christ's little ones have a guardian angel. I don't think they check out and go back to heaven when we turn 18. We are probably surrounded by angels right now. Just imagine if we could see the angels in the room with us. What do? They help us in our striving, and they also are watching. And then we have all of our relatives who have died. What do you think they're doing in heaven? They're watching. The minute they leave the earth and they have their judgment that we all will have, they see what life is about. It's too bad sometimes that we don't find out what's really going on until the end. Christ tries to tell us, but he won't reveal it all right now. But they see everything, and immediately their eyes are focused on us who are still here and who still have the chance, because we're all in the process of choosing where we're going to go and what place we're going to have in heaven. And so all of those, the saints, last week we heard a whole list of Old Testament saints that have gone before us, and we have all the everyone who's ever lived that is with God. They're watching us to see what place we will have. We're about to join them, and so they're watching us come up the line. Where's that one going to go? This one's excelling. We're choosing, and they're watching. It's very interesting. And someday we'll be the ones watching. Our successors in the arena, will they get it? Will they understand? Will they make the same mistakes we did? Will they listen to their prophets or throw them in the well? When I was ordained, I was ordained with Father John Amsbury. Some of you know him. One of his brothers worked here, Tom, with Father Quintel. And I mentioned that last night, and one of Father Amsbury's brothers was here at Mass, so that was really funny. But funny coincidence. But Bishop Steiner used to have a joke about us, Father Zur and Father Amsbury. He said that was the year he ordained them from A to Z. Yeah, I know. Amongst all of the people that we filled up the cathedral, you know, there were a couple of spies in our midst. They were staff members from Hillsborough, where I was newly assigned, they came to kind of scout me out and see what they were going to get and get the one-up on me before I showed up. And they told me later they'd come just to kind of check things out. And I often think that that is similar to what's going on in the midst of the race that we're running. And so our Lord tells us then, since you are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, persevere in running the race that lies ahead. There are quite a few people in this world who are very physically fit, very fast. They take their vitamins. They're running. They're doing a great job. They're making good time. And they're going in the wrong direction really fast. They get applauded by the world. But at the end, the prize was over there. They missed it because they're not focusing on the right goal. Other people don't have a goal at all. They're just wandering around. Some people are sitting in the easy chair. But in fact, they're still in the race. And they look ridiculous. They don't know what's going on. This is not a race where there's only one winner. It is not the one who's crowned is not necessarily the first one over the gate. It is the one who had a life of meaning. We are running to become what we are meant to be. It is picking up the graces along the way. That's the race that we're in. You can't see them, but the ones in heaven see them, and they watch, and they pray for us, and they wait for us to join them. And they themselves, I wonder if they know quite how the race is going to turn out. I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Only God. He says, focus on me. Tell them to focus on me. Tell them to focus on me. If we stop focusing on Christ, we're going to begin to be like one of those, a car out of alignment that begins to shimmy off to one side. That's a Christian that has lost his focus. They're not praying every day. They're not coming to Mass on Sunday. They don't read their scriptures. One way to keep focused is to use little prayers. We used to call them aspirations. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, help me to drive well. Jesus, give me patience. Jesus, I need you. You know, just little prayers. They keep us focused in the midst of all the distractions in our to-do list, or we're bored to death, or we're going on vacation, or we have to go to the store, or we're watching TV. But we keep our focus on Jesus, who inspires and perfects our faith. And then St. Paul tells us, he says, Jesus endured the cross, heedless of its shame, for the sake of the joy that was to come. What a great line that is. If I don't have a goal, if I can't see the joy that is to come, remember last week, Those of you who were at Mass, we heard about the wedding feast that Christ went to when he died and rose from the dead. And then he made a place for us at the wedding table that we are waiting. He wants us to have an image. We've all been to a wedding reception of a joy that will never end. The relatives that have been watching us and praying for us, all waiting for this great reunion when we will be perfected and purified. And so we keep the goal in front of us, which is heaven and Christ. And for the sake of that joy that lays before us, notice he says we may not always have the joy now, we endure the cross. If I don't see the goal, when I see a cross in front of me, I'm going to go like this. I'm not going to go down that road. I won't be able to endure it. It has no meaning. But if I have a goal, I can get through anything. I will continue the race. Without the goal, I don't know where I'm going. Or I'll go in the wrong direction with the crowd who don't know that they're in a race. And so today in the scriptures, our Lord, through the letter to the Hebrews, invites us to see life, once again using a metaphor, to see life as it really is. That we are in fact competing. We are in a race. We are in fact observed. We are prayed for. We are to have a vision of the future. We are to persevere for the sake of Christ who loves us. For the sake of the joy that is to come, Christ endured the cross. He now sits forever at the right hand of God and invites us to join him one day.